Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Joining me today is Freeman Michaels, the author of the terrific book, Weight Release, A Liberating Journey, The Powerful New Way to Release Weight Forever. Most weight loss programs focus on overeating and lack of exercise. Very few of them address the underlying reason for weight issues. Weight issues are a result of unhealthy patterns of behavior and a negative self-image. The Service to Self process taught in his book focuses on reprogramming and healing old patterns of behavior to create a positive, lasting change in self-image. Weight release is a natural byproduct of this process. Freeman Michaels is the founder of the Service to Self process, a life coaching program he designed and developed. He is a speaker, workshop trainer, and author. He holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Freeman, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back. We had a great talk last time about your wonderful book, Weight Release. And today we're going to talk about the energy value of food. And that's typically understood in terms of calories, units of energy derived from the nutrients in food. But I know you wanted to talk about the relationship with food and the types of food we choose to ingest from a slightly different vantage point. If you can tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. No, and it's interesting because you're right. When we talk about the energy value of food, from a nutrition standpoint, really you're talking about this sort of heat combustion of lipids, which of course are fats, proteins, or carbohydrates, and that's how nutritionists measure, right? And yet it's interesting because just taking the words energy and value, and it's not like I'm jumping so much to say, what is the energetic quality in the choices we're making, and what is the value we receive from them? When I teach my process, I often ask people, you know, what are you consuming? And the question really becomes, what really feeds you? Because so often we're consuming, and to use the analogy, empty calories. Our lives are full of distraction. They're full of things that don't really feed us. So this is actually a really good way to look at the food that we're consuming, and more important than even the food, look at everything we're consuming, because so many of us are plugged in to negativity, and negativity is going to perpetuate unhealthy patterns of behavior. So, you know, hypercritical thinking, which manifests in interesting ways. I mean, pessimism, sarcasm, behaviors like gossiping. See, all of that is really about a negative self-image. It's about not feeling very good about ourselves. And I'll tell you something. So many people who go on diets are looking in the mirror and they're not liking themselves, Lisa. That's the reason for making the choices. Well, there's no way you're going to guilt trip yourself into making, you know, positive choices. It's not possible, right?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's
so if
true.
We back up and we actually, the way I start my process, the Service to Self process,
yes,
is a general life coaching program, but process. But the Weight Release program is derived from that, right? And so the foundation of the Service to Self process is that fulfillment, Lisa. Fulfillment is the only accurate measure of success. I want to say that again because it's so important. See, we have ideas in our heads of what will be fulfilling, what we think will be fulfilling. But that oftentimes when we achieve those things, we recognize, wow, that isn't that fulfilling. So fulfillment is the only accurate measure of success. And what we have to do is we have to tease out from experiences and activities that have been fulfilling, what is the quality in those experiences or activities that made them fulfilling? And then we need to begin to orient our lives towards that. And that's the energy value. See, that's the energy value. There's a value and there's an energy in the activities that make them fulfilling, rewarding, nutritional. That's the correlation that gets missed. Because everyone wants to talk about the energy value of food just in terms of these, you know, these joules, which is this heat measurement, and that's fine. But the correlation to where it fits in our lives is, what are we taking in? What are we consuming? That's what we need to focus on.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And that's why, you know, your service to self-process is so important. And if somebody has low self-esteem, then I think it makes more sense that they're going to be taking the empty calories in and not caring as much about themselves and what they're eating. And what are steps for people, and I know we talked about this before, but, you know, who want to make changes and want to start feeling better about themselves? What do you recommend?
Well, this is the big adjustment, is that it really is a challenge to honor ourselves and to support ourselves. I say to people, you need to become self-centered. And by that, they generally react. They think that I mean, narcissistic and
exactly.
Self-absorbed. Well, I don't. I actually don't mean that. But what I recognize is this, is that, you know, so many people, and I'm one of these people, realize I have a 100-pound swing in my adult life. So I'm not talking about this as a theorist. I'm talking about this as someone who has actually been through this experience. And I was a people pleaser. I was always thinking that if I could please people out there, then I would get my needs met. And what I was actually doing is neglecting my needs and projecting out in the world. So making other people, taking care of other people's needs, meanwhile neglecting myself. And what I came to recognize was that the quality in what I was giving, see, it devalued the quality. And it's interesting. I mean, the famous commandment from the Christian tradition is love your neighbor as yourself, or love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. But see, the truth is you can't love your neighbor if you're not loving yourself. I mean, not really, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
and so
true.
That's the principle. So we actually need to start to honor and care for ourselves. When we do that and we understand the quality in that kind of self-care, we actually – what I help people do is create what we call self-care practices. And I can talk a little more about that. But the idea of when we're caring for ourselves, then the quality we have to give in the world, the quality of experience, the interaction, changes profoundly.
Yes,
and that's really it. So, I mean, the bottom line is what really feeds you. And it's a lot to orient that way. And so often, you know, the challenge I have with my clients and those who take my webinars and so forth, the challenge is the orientation towards caring for themselves is pretty profound, and also honoring themselves, because they really have gotten used to beating themselves up. And they even see that as a way of motivating themselves, which we know is flawed, and see, they know it's flawed, but it's habitual. It's really something it's a pattern of thinking. And that's actually, I often say to people, look, the weight is a byproduct of something. Well, what we really need to release is a thought system that has us caught in these unhealthy patterns of behavior. It's a thought system, Lisa, that we're really releasing. And when we can do that and start to orient our lives towards fulfillment, that's the gift we have to give in the world. That's the gift we give to ourselves. And the byproduct, it's just a byproduct, is that, you know, when you're loving yourself, you make different choices. That's the true statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sure do. And Freeman, you know, you talk about in the book, I mean, you weren't always obviously in this place. You mentioned a few moments ago about being, you know, 100 pounds up and down. And if you can, for people who missed that, if you can just share a little bit about your personal story and how you came to this way of thinking.
Yeah, well, I had very low self-esteem as a kid. And what happened for me is I had a little, the ugly duckling syndrome. I had a moment in time in my teens when I started to thin out. I went through a growth spurt, and I got a lot of attention for my looks, and that became what I attached to as my sense of self. I say I was over-identified with my looks. And I'll tell you a little side note to that, and this is true of everybody, is that so often the personality we develop, the personality, our sense of self, this personality, is derived out of defense and out of survival. And that's where so many people get caught, because this notion of loving themselves in the way that I'm talking about it is so profoundly different than how they learn to, quote-unquote, get by, okay?
Oh, yes.
So tracking back to my own experience, I got attention for my looks. I became a model and an actor, and I ended up on a soap opera. I was a soap star for a minute and a half. And so, you know, I I'll tell you, I lost my job on The Young and the Restless. At some point, I got written off the show. That was devastating. I was married to another actress model. The marriage fell apart. That was devastating. But every time, it drew me, it forced me, I should say, because I really did. I felt pushed, I call it pushed to grow. I kept being pushed to grow, and I found myself, this is back in the mid-90s, in a men's group. I found my way to, you know, I found my way to the kind of material, ultimately getting a master's degree in spiritual psychology, that is now what I teach. So even though I'm not, how do I say this? The challenges in my life have been painful, and yet, isn't it true that that's where we grow sometimes? I mean, I think that,
definitely. Yeah. It is. And you just mentioned your master's degree in spiritual psychology, which I mentioned in the introduction, and that just sounds so fascinating. I hadn't heard of that, and I'm surprised, but I hadn't heard of it until I spoke with you last time. And
yeah.
You know, what do they focus on in that?
Well, it's interesting. I entered the program with the intention of getting becoming an MFT, so a marriage and family therapist.
Oh,
so it
okay.
has a very traditional psychology component.
Mm-hmm.
But there's added coursework, which it's really interesting because here's where healing actually occurs.
Yeah.
Healing is the process of applying compassion to the part inside of us that hurts. That is what healing is. Yeah.
That's great. Say that again.
healing is the process of applying compassion, which is an aspect of love. So you could also say healing is the process of applying love to the part inside that hurts. And there are components of this, including forgiveness of ourselves and others. Ourselves actually is the bigger impact one, though we often think it's about I need to forgive all these people. But that can be part of the process, but it's really where we come to a level of self-acceptance. And here's my sense, is that there is a energetic force in the universe. And, of course, it's this sort of love force. I mean, that's how God's defined in most spiritual and religious traditions anyhow. The notion that we're going to heal simply by analyzing the hurts from our lives, And so I went through that for many years. I mean, I was in therapy for a number of years. In fact, I say in my book that I became therapized.
I love that.
I was over-identified with my wounds, which means I wasn't healing them. They became the excuse, they became the reason, and I hung my hat on those, not recognizing that by doing that, I was, in this case, again, I was over-identifying with the problem, and I wasn't moving into or dwelling in, you know, the potential, I don't know if the solution is the right word, but at least the transcendence of the problem. And that only occurs, in my opinion, that only occurs through a spiritual process. It is not a psychological process that heals us. It helps us to recognize how things came about. It's a very valuable part of the process, but it's not where healing occurs. So for me, finding that program, and I'm grateful every day I did, was perfect because I already understood the psychology piece. I needed to integrate the spiritual piece. That's where my personal growth and development occurred, and that's where my process came from.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I know several people that I feel like instead they're just stuck in
right.
the pain. And I'm not discounting the pain or saying bad things didn't happen, but it just seems like their whole life is sort of built around that and they just aren't moving forward. And they've been in therapy for 25 years, and it doesn't seem like anything changes. It always kind of makes me concerned of what is the therapist doing or what is their intention, what are they doing?
I'll tell you, it's an energetic exchange. It's so interesting because we started off talking about the energy value of food. So let's talk for a minute about the energy value of problems in this context. Here's the exchange, and I realized this in my own therapy. What I really needed was compassion. I understand that now. So what I would do is I would go into therapy with a problem. The therapist would apply compassion to it, which felt like healing. The problem is, in order for me to continue to get the compassion, I had to continue to have a problem.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
We call it, you know, and often in the 12-step, which I have great reverence for, by the way. I'm not against it. I just, it's one of the things, though, people bond over being alcoholics. And I always say, don't define yourself as an alcoholic. Recognize that you are a human being who in this lifetime has struggled with issues with alcohol. That's fine. But it's the humanity that's going to set you free. Identifying with the alcoholism actually is a trap. So, you know, Carolyn Mace, who is one of my favorite writers, I'm sure you're familiar with her, she talks about it in terms of being wound mates. She says, these were all my wound mates, and we bonded over our wounds. Well, what happens if someone in that group gets healthy? They got to leave the group.
Yeah.
And in my words, we call those agreements. So we make agreements about what we're going to bond over, which oftentimes, even though it feels good, it has an initial, initially that can be very valuable to feel supported in the fact that it's okay that you're an alcoholic or you've struggled with these issues or whatever. But then you got to grow out of that. Then you got to leave that. You actually got to heal it. And that's the part where a lot of people get stuck. And that's what you're talking about.
Yes, you know, something that helped me a lot, and I talk about this a lot because I love it, is bioenergetic therapy, where I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you actually go really deep into your body. It's a very physical therapy, and I actually feel like things, I mean, really deep hurts, and I mean, I've never cried so hard or realized I was angry and really getting stuff out in a real physical way and getting in touch with your body, and it kind of feels like it lets it go. And so I think it's wonderful. I think there's some therapies, but talk therapy for me after a while, it just doesn't seem like anything. And I'm not generalizing. I mean, this is for me personally. Bioenergetic therapy, I love it. And
yeah,
what you're doing, I love.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I'm doing a program here in Los Angeles at one of the yoga studios, a very well-known yoga studio, called The Yoga of Weight Release. And I'm not a yoga teacher, but I have this wonderful yoga teacher who's working with me, and it's
cool.
All about that, getting in our bodies and releasing. It's a powerful, and there's so many ways that the two tie together because it has a spiritual component to it. Yoga does that it has to do with, stretching. So as we stretch, we're stretching our self-perception. As we're, so there's all these sort of analogies that weave throughout the day. It's actually a 3-hour workshop that correlate directly with what the intent is in the weight release program, but it physicalizes it, which is what you're talking about, which
That's
is
great.
So incredibly important and valuable.
It really is. It's so valuable. And speaking with you is so valuable, Freeman. We always run out of time so quickly, but I want to have you back because I know I kind of veered off into other areas, but love talking
great.
To you. It's such a nice, natural flow. And if you can give people your information.
Sure, Service to Self. So it's www.servicetoself.com. That's the website. They can get all the information there.
Oh, terrific. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.